Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Stuart. We have Larry on with us tonight, and there's a lot of news out there, and I'm not sure exactly where one should start with it. So maybe the latest news is on the no vote that Trump received and had to table his agenda for replacement of Obamacare. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Hey, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
It's Well, this shows the House divided to me, but do you think this was possibly in the plan all along? I'm beginning to wonder if this wasn't the plan right along. He has so many enemies, both Republican and Democrat, that, you know, he can spin his wheels on every one of his agenda plans if he has to take it through the Congress. What's your take on that? I'm a little suspicious, but then I guess that's conspiratorial mindset.
Well, that's very interesting, Stuart. And, you know, of course, today it was very odd how that one minute it appeared, you know, they were going to push the vote and have the vote anyway, and it looked like everything was all lined out, and then suddenly they pulled the bill and never had the vote at all. I mean, simply never had the vote. So are we seeing something orchestrated? Are we seeing something play out? I'm like you. I'm being a little suspicious. But on the other hand, you know, I have to come back. Like, we do know that Donald Trump, or I believe that he is a type of Osiris, but also believe very, really incredibly that he is judgment. And so is he just doing his job? Well, that could be. But then on the other hand, you know, I think so many times what you said before, who is Barack Obama? Who is Donald J. Trump? I mean, seriously, who are they? Where'd they come from? What's their backgrounds? And you know, there's a lot of questions there.
Yeah, we know a whole lot more about Trump than we do about Obama. And the fact that when he came on afterwards, when Trump came on after, you know, it was withdrawn, he made several comments that to me were sort of interesting. One was about loyalty, which I think was his scolding of the renegades that wouldn't go along with it. And I think he has a point there that really, you know, he's a Republican president. He ran on a Republican ticket. He didn't have to. He could have gone as an independent, and so on and so on. And they showed him virtually no loyalty at all. They don't seem to be able to get their act together. The other thing that bothers me is that the House can defund. They're the purse holders, I understand it. And they could have defunded Obamacare from the very get-go. They never have. Nor have they ever really come up with any legitimate plan to replace it. If you go into the report from Iron Mountain, you find it's not called Obamacare in there, but it's called simply socialized, governmental-controlled, every aspect of a person's being basically is controlled through this medical stuff that they come up with. So it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Well, it does, Stuart, and that's what's interesting, what you brought up, is we've watched this. This is history. We have watched 8 years of Obama with the Republicans doing absolutely nothing other than putting on a short skit play just for the, I guess, the Republican people's benefit, that they were literally – defying Obamacare. They were defying Obama, yet they did nothing, absolutely nothing. The only bill they passed, you know, Obama vetoed, and they never brought it up again. And what's so odd, Stuart, is I wonder why, if that was such a good bill to replace Obamacare then, and Obama didn't want to approve it, why didn't they just use that? Why go into all this other than control? I have to say, Stuart, we've heard that Obamacare literally would play out in the next year or so with incredible control of the population, and maybe that's what they're trying to maintain a grip on, is control over the people via your health care.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize what was in Obamacare. And, you know, they have the death panels, and everybody laughed at, I can't remember her name, from Alaska. Remember she
Sarah
said
Palin.
There were death? Yeah, Sarah Palin, and the death panel, and everybody laughed. Well, I'm sorry, it is in there. And, you know, I guess the American people get what they got coming. And but the other thing that Trump did say, he said, well, this puts it all on Pelosi and Schumer. They own it. They own the whole thing. So if it implodes and people don't have health insurance, they can look to Pelosi and Schumer as to why that occurred. And so maybe this was the strategy right along. Because remember when Trump was running for office, he did say, well, we could just let it run out and implode upon itself, and it'll just explode, and there won't be any Obamacare.
I heard that.
But I don't know. Yeah. So it does make you wonder. But a house divided cannot stand. And I'm beginning to think this is exactly what we're watching. I don't know if you remember it, but there was a story in Minnesota about two bald eagles that had a fight in the sky, and they crashed at a Duluth airport. And when I read it and saw the eagles laying there on the tarmac, I thought, you know, it's just got to be kind of a symbolic warning of what's coming to the United States, because after all, our national symbol is the bald eagle, and we have our two houses. We have the Senate, and we have the House. We have Democrats. We have Republicans, and they don't seem to be able to get anything at all done. What do you think about that possibility? I mean, it just seemed weird to me. That's all I guess I'm saying, that it would happen when
yeah,
it did.
I think you're exactly right. And you know, as you were talking, I was thinking again of how I do remember clearly Trump saying originally, maybe we just ought to sit back and watch Obamacare literally implode upon itself, literally completely fail, and go from there. And I think that, you know, in a way, long way around, that's where we have round up now.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, they're going to end up with nothing. In fact, I guess some of the states are, in fact, losing all of their, insurance. Well, what happens to the people that can't even get insurance?
Yeah.
So maybe this was in the works right along. I don't know. I mean, it just seems kind of odd to me that it's working out the way it did. So, I don't know. There's so much going on around the world. Why don't we get into this this North Korean thing again? And particularly, let's get into those Bible codes, considering what all of this seems to be saying and saying to us.
Well, there's been a number of the Torah codes. Interestingly, one was ran by Barry Rothman, and this Torah code, he ran March the 10th, and that was when, you remember, Trump said that, you know, he was sending the THAAD missile system, the missile shield, to South Korea. And the Torah
yes.
code came back with, you know, nine phrases, and I'll read them here. And
yes.
also, Barry Rothman made a comment. He said, Torah code author saw this 3,300 years ago and wrote it down. So number one is the Thad Shield. Number two is South Korean. Number three is Kim. Number four is launching. Number five, threat. Number six, USA. There's USA again, Stuart. And then seven, BH Obama. Eight, for Trump. Nine, from Japan.
So that one is more or less telling us there is a threat to come and that the USA is going to be involved in it, right? And Japan will be involved in it?
Yeah, that's what it's saying, yeah.
Okay, so then we have, this is interesting, we have Obama and Trump in it as well?
Absolutely.
Wonder
Absolutely
what that,
we do.
I wonder
and,
what
and
that
Kim, which is. Yeah, and Kim, Barack Obama, B.H. Obama, Trump, and Kim is in that code altogether. And they're, you know, the leaderships.
Wow. So that's kind of forming a triangle of danger then. Well, then it was, who was it, Glazerson that came out with another one?
Well, the next one that came out actually was March the 19th. Barry Rothman ran two quick codes talking about atomic war in Korea. And he made the comment that after those two codes, he found an enormous number of threats encoded. And one of them was Korean fire, Kim, atomic war. And the second one was R. Tillerson, Korean war, assassination, revolution, the plague, UN, moon, president, leader, to fear, stealthy.
Well, that would tend to confirm everything that's been run before then. And the UN is going to get involved in this as well. Maybe this is the UN takeover. Let me read something from the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 47, which details with America Babylon, whether people want to believe it or not, it's immaterial. It's what it actually is about. But these two things shall, this is verse 9, but these two things shall come to thee in a moment in one day, the loss of children, widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. And if you want to cross-reference that, you go to Revelation chapter 18. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, verse 10. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it has perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. In other words, I guess, what would your take be? I would think that that's meaning that we are the greatest nation on the earth. We're the queen of all the nations. And there's nobody like us anywhere in the whole world. Would that be about right, I think? In other words, kind of arrogant?
Yeah, that sounds a little bit accurate.
Okay, therefore, shall evil come upon thee? Now, this is interesting. Thou shalt not know from whence it rises, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, which sort of implies that the United States has been attempting to put off the attacks, but it says, thou shalt not be able to put it off. Desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Now, those are kind of interesting remarks in and of themselves, because we evidently, it appears that either the people or the government doesn't really fully understand where this is coming from. And when it does come, it comes extremely suddenly, out of the blue, like it's totally unexpected. And if you go into Jeremiah 50, 51, in that area, you'll find that the attack comes basically as a total surprise. Nobody expected it when it happened. And it came from an area, evidently, that we're either not familiar with or it was an unexpected place from whence it came. which might be indicative of North Korea. I mean, North Korea, what's that? It's just a little isolated country, and who would suspect that that might be the place this comes from? What say you on that?
Well, from a lot of the warnings, I've listened to some generals talking and you know, on Fox the last day or two, and they're very, very concerned about, if you want to call it, little North Korea and little Kim, very concerned that this thing will go nuclear. And at the same time, I hear we're moving more and more material and armaments in that direction. I was just reading an interesting book that just came out on bookshelves from Joel Rosenberg. You know, I mentioned to you, Stuart. It's called, I'll use this title. It's called, interestingly, Without Warning. And so basically what this book is about, it's just out, and it's very, very good. It talks about ISIS, the terror attacks, the machinations going on in the Middle East, and they have a president at the time that refuses to look evil in the face or even call it by name, if that tells you anything. And the interesting thing is, there was a lot of signs, but all the signs leading up to this massive terror attack on the U.S., by ISIS forces and terrorists, you know, all the signs were ignored, and they were ignored by Washington and all the government people, agencies, all the three-letter agencies, because they didn't want to admit they had it wrong. And so, therefore, the book is entitled Without Warning. However, it was when it came, the attacks were not without warning, but because the ones that had the warnings in their ears would not disseminate the information or tell others, it actually came suddenly on the American people who were unaware of the evil in their midst.
Well, that sounds just like what I just read. And surprisingly, it's number, it's Isaiah 47, 4 and 7 is 11, and it's verse 11. So there's an 11:11. Therefore,
wow,
shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. So in other words, we have been infiltrated, which is what Jeremiah 51:14 says, which I'll read too to make sure the people understand who we are. And I don't think people want to accept who we are. But anyway, verse 12, stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Now, this is interesting in the comments of Babylon with Jeremiah. We would have healed Babylon, but she will not be healed. So maybe Trump is exactly what this is about. That he's giving us one last final warning, and at the same time, judgment is upon the nation. It's kind of a oxymoron in one sense, that you would think possibly you have a slight delay, but at the same time the delay is taking place, judgment is gathering.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept which you just talked about. And by the way, Blazerson, you had mentioned him, and he came out with the latest code, which just came out a couple of days ago, and I got an email from Richard Shaw. You know, I sent you a copy of it, and Skywatch TV had it, and Richard Shaw said, yeah, I said, they're coming out with a lot of new stuff, but a lot of it's not going out. But this is, and I'll just read the Skywatch they did on it. It says, Torah Codes Warning, and this it says, Korean nuclear crisis may signal impending war between legions of angels. And what they're getting at there is, in some of the other books, there's end times reports of angelic warfare going on in the heavens and even around the earth, you know, in the end times. And they're talking like this may be part of that, that the Korean nuclear crisis may lead into that. And then, by the way, Rabbi Glazerson did a Torah code that mentions nuclear war, North Korea, and get this, the United States, written in Hebrew, and I can't pronounce it well, but it's Arzat Habrit, is the name. It's the Hebrew name for the United States, which they have now found, or Glazerson and the ones working with him have found, in the Torah code. So now they have found USA in the Torah code, and they've also found United States in the Torah code written in Hebrew. And this all links in with a real incredible crisis involving a nuclear North Korea. And, of course, Ed Dames, you know, has chimed in a number of times about that same crisis.
Yes, that they would be the first to use a nuke in anger, if I recall right. Right? I think, wasn't that some sort of a prelude to the kill shot?
That was, Ed Dames put that out originally as one of the signposts indicating that we were approaching the kill shot time frame. And he said that one of the signposts would be, I believe he said, North Korea would set off a nuclear weapon, you know, in anger. And he indicated later that possibly it was one set off underground right on the, whatever that demilitarized zone is right there.
38th parallel,
North
probably?
South Korea. Huh?
Yeah. 38th parallel, I think it is.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Right.
And he would set it off really, really close under a buildup of military that was down there facing him. And now, what's interesting, Stuart, you know, Ed Dames mentioned that, the North Korean nuke going off, but he also mentioned then later closer to the kill shot time frame, a space shuttle or something looks like a space shuttle is brought down because of incoming off the sun. And what's interesting, though, is the fact that today, I'll just add this and get your comment, Quail Alerts put out a post, and a couple other news services have posted it also, says there's a possibility North Korea is ready now to explode a hydrogen bomb at their Punggye-ri test site. Says Fox News reports the test could come within days. So what we're hearing there, and we've already heard rumors of hydrogen bomb technology that the North had, but everybody was putting it down and said, no, that doesn't exist. But now there are reports coming out of that area that what they're about to set off may possibly be a hydrogen bomb, and that'll be a massive explosion. So here we are again with North Korea, and here we are again with the news, real-time news, dovetailing right in to the Torah codes.
Yeah. Yeah, let me get back to Isaiah chapter 13 or verse 13, 47:13. Now, I'm just going to read the first sentence and then liken this back to what is going on in Washington. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. In other words, we have so many factions. So much argument. Nothing gets done.
Yeah.
The things that should be done are not done, and probably the things that that ought not be done are done. It kind of sounds
That's
like.
That's what we're seeing.
And it finishes off
That's
and
exactly
it says,
what
let
we're
now
seeing.
The. Yeah, it is. It's just fight after fight after fight after fight. And as I started out, a house divided cannot stand. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. We are right at this cusp right now. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even the merchants, from thy youth. And they shall wander every one to his quarter, and none shall save thee. I mean, these are dire, dire prophecies against the United States. And we're right here now at the Washington is imploding. It seems like it's imploding upon itself. And like Donald Trump says, well, it doesn't matter. matter what he did. He could take a Democratic bill that they wrote entirely by themselves and present it, and they'd vote against it.
Yeah.
It's gone that far. And, you know, like we've said before, and you especially because of your police background, this appears more and more to be like a domestic. Nobody reasons. It's all emotional. And Trump appears to be the only one that was reasonable. And they did say he tried to negotiate. And but then at the end, I think he must have figured they're not going to do it anyway, so forget it. And he's going to move on.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. And yeah, that's the thing that's so interesting is not only does he have the Democrats and all the media against him, he also has all the Republicans that never wanted him to be president anyway. So, you know, everything that should be done is not being done and can't be done. And I believe some of the scriptures you just read are apropos.
Yeah, it's being fulfilled with almost exact accuracy. And it's just amazing that people don't see it for what it is. Here's another one for you. Jeremiah 51:14. The Lord of hosts has sworn, this is against America, sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. That's a fifth column military operation. Now I was just watching a video, I think it was yesterday, where this woman had been attending, I believe it was UN sponsored, but it was more in line with social services. And what she heard and what she was told should send chills upon everyone, because this is what Jeremiah is talking about. She said these people are pouring in all over the place. What they do is they bus them in all over the nation at night. They generally arrive late at night. Then they are picked up. These are men. She said mostly these are young men. And they're coming from Syria and all over the place over there. All the nations that probably Trump talked about. But anyway, there they are assimilated, so to speak, into the community where they go. They're given some sort of a plastic card. It's not like a food stamp card, but it kind of operates that way. They get free housing, they get cash, they get free food, free clothing, etc., etc., etc. In other words, it's costing the American taxpayer. And if I remember Randy Yarbrough, you know, sometimes he starts his show with how we are financing our own destruction.
Yeah.
Well, she brought this forward and said that's exactly what's going on. These people are being sent all across the United States. So let me read this again to everybody. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee, America Babylon, with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. Well, it's kind of what Isaiah said. It just comes upon us without any warning. All of a sudden, our cities are on fire. And I can remember when I was flying for the General Electric Company during the riots back in the 60s. And that was really something to watch when you were flying over a city and watching all the smoke and from the fires below. What do you think? I think we're awful close to this.
Well, it's very interesting, Stuart. You remember the minute that Trump came into office after his inauguration, he began to try to block this huge influx of foreigners, immigrants as they called them, coming into the country. He said it was dangerous, warned America it was dangerous, And then the courts began to operate against him. And here we are. You know, he came into office, what was it, January the 20th, I guess. And here we are, March
yes.
the 23rd. And guess what? They haven't been slowed down yet. They're still coming in, and all of his executive orders are being frustrated by the courts. Stuart, it's like an echo in my ear what you said about we would heal Babylon, but.
Yeah. And, I don't think even the American people want it. They don't want Jesus Christ to rule over them. I think they've made that abundantly clear. It just seems like, you know, when they do the stats on how much money is spent, say, for Halloween, generally speaking, it's more money than is spent for Christmas. And that's a big indicator of where the people really are and their maybe even unconscious hatred for the Lord. I've never quite understood that. Maybe you can answer it for me. But, you know, here's this fellow who way back 2,000 years ago was healing people, gentle, kind, loved children, healed people left and right, even resurrected from the dead, didn't have a cross word for virtually anybody except some of the people in the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders of his day, which he called snakes in the grass, basically. Why would people hate that kind of an individual?
Yes,
what I don't,
why would they? I was just going to say, why would they hate him, and why would they also call him the greatest threat on planet Earth? And he still is.
Yeah, I just don't get that concept. I can't understand, because normally if you've got, you know, a very nice doctor or a very nice nurse or a nice lawyer or a very benevolent mayor or something like that, people love him. And they wouldn't even think about doing him in. And yet here we have this this, I don't know, it's just kind of weird to me. I've never been quite able to figure that one out. Let's move on to this thing. I don't know what you want to call it. You got a call, as I understand it, and these people that you know down at the bottom of your mountain there called and said they'd seen something. You want to get into that a little bit? That's fascinating, and the pictures are more than fascinating.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and I'm glad that I could get that video to you where you could view it and see this whatever it is. It's an unknown thing. I don't even know what to call it, but the story started when I received a call from these individuals, and they said, you know, we saw something really strange on our camera, said, and it's odd that it really even occurred. They said, we got a video on our camera we didn't even know should be on there, and said, would you like to come look at it? Well, of course, you know, I, with all, you know, maybe an inquiring mind that goes overboard, I said yes right away. And the next day I went to visit them, and what they had done, you know, and they live right here in the area by me, on the, you know, kind of the backside of the mountain, down on the base of it, and, you know, this is a portal area, but ironically, they had been out about dark on the roof. They have a roof that they can get out on and, you know, sit and watch the sunset and watch the stars come out, and they like to take photographs of, you know, the different planets and things, and they were out there after dark on their roof, and they had tried to take some pictures of a star, or rather, I think it was Venus, and also the moon, which looked a little odd. And they was having problems. It was really blurry shots, and it just wasn't working good. So they just set the camera down on the roof. And, you know, the one that had the camera said, I don't remember ever turning on the video. I don't think I did. I think it was off. But I had just set the camera down. We was going to go down and eat and come back up later and maybe try to take some pictures on a slow image, you know, where they could get more light to enter in and on the film and get a better image.
Mm-hmm.
So they went downstairs, never heard anything, didn't know anything was going on. And later in the evening, you know, or the night, they went up on the roof to get the camera, and they brought, you know, they decided, well, they're through. So they shut the window, you know, and was down inside, and they were looking at the images, the blurry images that they had tried to take of the, I believe it was Venus and the moon, and you know, that wasn't very good. Well, all of a sudden they said, wait a minute, there looks like a video on here. That's impossible. I didn't video anything. But when they played it, Stuart, it's a video that I sent you a copy of, and it is the most remarkable thing I have ever seen. I've seen a lot of stuff in this area up here. I mean, a lot of crafts, a lot of jet fighters, a lot of lights, blah, 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 orbs and all of this. But this is very, very different, and I'm hesitant. You know, from looking at it, I don't call it a craft, and I think you'll agree with me. It's not a craft of some sort. It doesn't appear to be. It's more like an entity or something that is intelligent. It's whatever the activity that it created there in front of this camera, and I'm not even sure, Stuart, that maybe it didn't turn this video on this camera because it appeared to be really interested in the video itself that it made. It's almost like it made its own video and then left. And you saw it. What do you think? What did you detect from viewing that very strange activity on that camera?
It reminded me, and on YouTube, and they tried to claim it was a fake, but I don't think it was. You know, you get something up there, and then how do you call those people? The trolls come along. If they see something that they don't really want the people to believe in or know about, they call the whole thing a fake, and it was just photoshopped or whatnot. They do that with the giants. Well, anyway, on this YouTube video, there was an incident. I think it was a biker who was going to ran into a trucker that almost did, and this entity comes in a flash of light, takes the bike and the biker to one side of the road, and then starts to walk off, turns into a being of light, and leaves. And this thing looks almost similar. It looks like it's some sort of an angelic entity that's kind of, I don't know what the terrain is around their house. It looks like it's kind of bouncing around out there. And
well, you got to remember. Yeah, I was just going to mention their house is a 2-story tall house, so it's tall. It's probably 2.5 stories, actually. And they were up on the top story, up by the roof of the top story. So they had a perfect view because there's no trees. They had an ice storm around their house one time that brought all the trees down, and so there's nothing to get in the way. And the night was very dark, as you noticed, because there's just simply no light pollution there. I mean, none.
Yes.
And it was a very dark sky.
Totally dark.
And this thing appeared to come, into the face or the view area of the camera itself on purpose. And if you noticed, it turned a couple of times almost to its side, which gave it a length of some kind.
Yes.
That was different from the front view, and it's so odd. It is. I just don't know what to say.
Well, I think people are going to, how do I say this? They're going to see all kinds of things. I remember Red Elk and others who said that the veil was going to thin, and that many odd sightings were going to occur, some very, very frightening, actually. So we're in a time when it seems like the electromagnetic spectrum, which I believe controls where we are in our little universe here, and when that changes, then the dimensions begin to kind of fade into one another. And we've had all kinds of weird encounters. I remember the lady, I think she was flying over the Bahamas, and she called on the radio, and the control tower answered her. They saw her in their eyeglasses and whatnot, you know, she said, "Where's the airport?" And they said, "Well, it's right underneath you." And they watched her dip her wings and circle. She says, "There's no airport there. There's only trees. It's all overgrown. There's no airport." And they said, "We can see you. The runway's right below you." Well, anyway, I guess they tried to coax her to land, and she said she couldn't because there was no runway there whatsoever. It was all just, and she wandered off, and nobody ever saw her again. So,
wow.
And then you had that, I think it was an Eastern Airlines airliner going into Miami, lost 8 minutes of time, disappeared from the radar for 8 solid minutes, and then reappeared, and everybody's watch was off by 8 minutes. Where did they go? Mm. What happened to them? You know, these kind of weird things, I don't think we have a clue as to what's really, really going on in our universe.
Sure.
So this, go ahead.
I was just going to mention, you were talking about the thinning of the veil a little bit earlier and mentioned that, and Red Elk had mentioned about that too. And, you know, it reminds me of your friends up here, Jeff and Ina. You remember how they've got a location on their property that they can go down to, and they can literally hear people. They can't see them, but they can hear them talking and laughing and you know, some hollering, and it's almost like they're just the other side of the veil. They cannot see anything visible, but yet they hear it. They know they're there. And it's almost like maybe a thinning area of the veil, and that's what we're experiencing. And you know, you're also well aware, Stuart, of some peculiar pterodactyl and dinosaur sightings, you know, up in this same area of the Buffalo Mountains. And, you know, nobody ever found anything, but people literally saw these things.
Well, you've had too many people see these things. Red Elk called them. What did he call those? Not birds of prey, but
Thunderbirds.
I don't really remember what Thunderbirds. Thunderbirds. He called them the Thunderbirds. The return of the Thunderbirds. And there's a fellow up here in Minnesota that had two of them fly right over his farm. He said their wingspan was bigger than his silos, which were about 30 feet wide.
Wow.
So these and too many people have seen these things. So you can't just discount it and say, well, they're all hallucinating. They're, you know, smoking pot, or they're hallucinating on mushrooms or whatever. Too many people have seen these things and encountered them. So, yeah, what exactly is this, and what are we looking at? And I myself have seen enough odd craft, and actually the cosmospheres, I've seen those. I know what those are. And I've seen the UFOs. And when flying, you know, we have a whole section in our flight manuals about reporting strange craft or UFOs. Nobody does it because it is probably will end your career if you do. So they don't report it. So
yeah.
I don't know. What else you got for us tonight? Any startling news?
Well, I was also gonna mention the oddity of that thing, though, that these neighbors had around their house. That it appeared to me it was some type of I want to call it an entity, an intelligent being of some kind, maybe energy. You mentioned plasma, but this thing seemed to have an intelligence of its own, and what it was doing, it was working hard at doing. I mean, it was very intricate at what it was doing at that location. And so, you know, you mentioned something that's really interesting too. You know, maybe we're in the time, you know, that we've entered into now, that we're going to see more and more possibly angelic or other manifestations. And so we need to be aware. We need to begin to understand these things and pray about them and be aware. And maybe more so, you know, we're so used to being of the earth, earthly, that it's pretty hard for us to put on our so-called spiritual thinking caps.
Well, it's like remote viewing and going and visiting, and you've been taken places by the Lord and shown different things. How do you explain the mechanics of it? Now, to the average person, they'd say, well, you're just fruitcake. You know, you just probably drank too much. You know, they don't want to believe it because it's outside of their normal comfort zone. And people do have comfort zones, and they don't want you penetrating those with weird stories because it makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So,
right. And And a lot of times, you know, when you and I, and we've done this for years, we've talked about these, and even your show, you talk about it, there's a paranormal portion to your show,
yes.
And it's exactly right, and that's what's going on, except so many don't want to go there, so to speak. They feel frightened or afraid of that even that term.
Yeah. I got something. You know, Antarctica's been relatively quiet talking about the paranormal. It seems like there's nothing going on. I went back into, I wrote a long, long time ago, I used to give a seminar on demons. And I found something here. I want to read it to you just to get a comment. From occultic sources, writings published at the Lucas Trust and the Terror Center in New York, and from Sheer International London, that's Benjamin Cream, or Krem's occult magazine, comes a New Age claim that in the days of Atlantis, now remember how Stan sort of tied Atlantis into Antarctica and how close they were to each other?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Says superior intelligences from outer space mingled freely with men on Earth. These spirit beings were called the White Lodge, in contrast to the Creator God of Heaven and his holy angels, whom they called the Black Lodge. This White Lodge was forced to withdraw from the Earth for a time, but they returned to the Earth, this time at the plains of Shinar, Babylon. And, of course, Babylon means confusion and gateway to the gods, which both apply to the United States, unfortunately, today. And they were again forced to withdraw by the Black Lodge. These occultic claims correlate well with ancient biblical history, Genesis 6, 1 through 12, 10, 8 through 12, and 11, 1 through 9. These occultic writings also declare that when their solo logos appears, the White Lodge will return again to Earth. These writings further identify their Christ, whom they call Lord Maitreya, a Buddhist name, as his Sola Logos. Further investigation into these occultic writings revealed the information that this Sola Logos is the personality next to Lucifer, and that he is the head of what they call the spiritual hierarchy. Now, that's kind of interesting because Barack Obama, I think, was photographed at this, and in that same area that Maitreya was photographed in, was he not? Am I remembering that right?
I think that's right. Wasn't they both in Kenya at the time?
Yes. And, you know, ever since Obama became elected as president, you haven't seen one word from Krem or anybody else that I know of about Maitreya. No sightings, no nothing.
Well, that's correct. And you hadn't, I don't even remember any reports coming out from that Benjamin Krem, who was his sidekick, so to speak. Actually, since Obama came on the scene, Maitreya and Benjamin Krem has been totally silent. And, of course, we don't know where Obama is today, but you wonder, they don't seem to be in the same place at the same time, hardly.
Yeah, and again, we can get back to the fact that nobody knows who this son of Kenya really is, or where he really came from, or what's going on. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting because it says here that these are so-called. Now, you got to remember, this is written from the occult point of view, that these are extraterrestrial entities. Well, isn't that what they're digging up there in Antarctica under the ground?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
So I'm wondering if this all doesn't tie together. Here's another verse. I think we got time. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, I did a word study on that a long time ago. The Greek word for seducing is planos. You know, it sounds an awful lot like planet, doesn't it? The origin of the word for planet. It literally means, actually, imposter or misleader or rover. The word deceiver actually has within it means to go astray and be a wanderer. Now, the planets are wandering stars because they're not fixed in the heavens like the stars are. They wander through the heavens. So I'm wondering if this couldn't be interpreted somewhat like what's going on right now. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, or the end of the age, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to imposters from other planets, teaching the doctrines of the fallen angels. Isn't that what's exactly going on right now?
That seems to be exactly right on.
So it just makes you wonder what's really happening out there, and we're being set up for something really, really evil and really, really bad. You heard about the 3 days of darkness, and we referenced it the other program we had just the other day. But I began to dig into this thing a little bit. I want your comments on it. In scriptures, this article says, we find many references to the days of darkness, the most familiar perhaps being the ninth plague that fell upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians during the time of Moses. And excerpting from it, and a horrible darkness occurred in the land of Egypt for 3 days. Exodus 21 through 20, 10, 21 through 23. The prophet Isaiah also spoke of days of darkness. Behold, the day of the Lord shall come, a cruel day, full of indignation and of wrath and fury, to lay the land desolate, to destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and their brightness shall not display their light. The sun shall be darkened in his rising, and the moon shall not shine with her light. Now, in order for that to happen, do you not have to have some means that the sun either goes out, possibly because it's changing fuels, or a space body of fairly giant proportions comes between us and the sun?
What
do you think?
I would say you're probably accurate on that. And, you know, Standeo talked about possibly the sun going dark when it changed fuels, which he said he didn't know when, but it's a possibility it was going to do that. And then on the other hand, too, I saw a note today from Marshall Masters talking about, I guess he calls it Planet X, but the destroyer, and how that it's in perihelion around the sun coming back around. And, you know, that also would explain possibly coming between the Earth and the sun to block out the sun's the light. And right now, Stuart, ironically, there are no sunspots on the sun, but then we are having the coronal holes, and we're in a stream of charged particles right now, which is creating magnetic storms around the planet. So it's all an anomaly occurring.
Yeah, it's like the bots and their sun disease. they're very, very clear that the sun gets sick. I guess that's a good way to say it. But there's some descriptions here that remind me of what Marshall Masters is talking about, that this could very well be the destroyer that he's talking about that blanks out the sun for a whole 3 days, and we just don't see anything. The sky took on a morbid blue color, which terrified everyone who looked at it. A dark wind blew everywhere. An impassioned and mournful shrieking filled the air, like the terrible roar of a fierce lion, and resounded all over the earth in blood-curdling echoes. All men and animals brimmed with terror. The entire world convulsed, and everyone pitilessly slaughtered one another. Well, that sounds like the description given in the Book of the Colburn of the approach of the destroyer.
Yeah, that's what
but
I thought as you
they
read
did
that.
Went
I thought,
insane.
Yeah, I thought that really sounds like the Colburn report.
And this comes out of one of the Roman Catholic prophecies. So I'm beginning to wonder if maybe this is more accurate than we want to realize, because isn't Marshall Masters and some of the other guys saying that this is probably going to be seen in September, October, somewhere in there, that we're going to be able to look up and actually see it?
During that September-October time frame is what they're pointing at. And you know, I read that originally, The 3 Days of Darkness, I read that in Kathleen Keating's book, where she was warning about an event, you know, involving the sun, actually, and that darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you're right.
Wow. Well, that would surely get men's attention. But they do say if this happens, don't go outside at all. Don't look out the windows at all. Go to a closet or something and just sit there and wait. They say that if you go outside, and I talked to Stan about that, I think, some time ago, and he was saying possibly if the sun went out, all the rays, the kind of the cosmic solar, cosmic radiation, would still be there. And maybe it has to do with the collapse of our magnetic shield, too, at the same time, which would be horrendous because it would kill anybody that went outside. So,
yeah,
anyway.
He was indicating just because there was darkness, that it would not mean at all that the radiation and dangerous particles off the sun wouldn't be bombarding the Earth. And to go out in it, you would absolutely be radiated and probably wouldn't realize it till you just fell over.
You'd be cooked. You'd be put on a rotisserie, and that'd be the end of it. Do you remember the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Yes.
The new one with Keanu Reeves? Did you see that one? Okay, insects? Remember how that big robot turned into these robotic insects and killed everything they came in contact with? Well, here's a headline. Terrifying insect-sized robots could render humanity extinct by the end of this century, experts warn. They're little tiny robotic bugs. And when I saw that, I thought of the movie. Because that's what they were. Anyway, just a thought.
Yeah, and what's so interesting, Stuart, about those bugs was, in that movie, they were not construction engineers. They were deconstruction engineers.
Yeah, they were. I remember a movie, I think it was Number 5 is Alive. I don't remember what the movie name of it was, but it was a robot that got struck by lightning. And he kept saying, no disassemble, no disassemble. So that's kind of what those bugs were doing, where they were disassembling. So, yeah, I don't know. Any other thing you got before we close out?
Well, I was just going to mention there's also a report by Yahoo News today that Russia is testing a new nuclear weapon system known as Satan II, and they say the bomb is big enough to totally destroy France with one explosion.
Yeah, I think we are getting there, Larry. I think we're getting to the point where some of these nuclear explosions could even knock the Earth off its rotational balance. Anyway, I'll close out with this one. H.R. 1313, for all you folks out there listening, this bill will require medical procedures like vaccines as a requirement for your employment. So they're coming in from every angle they can come in on, and I don't see Donald Trump rolling back any of this sort of stuff, but maybe he just hasn't gotten to it yet. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Anyway, Larry, how do they reach you before we close out?
Yeah, the quickest way is my blog, LarryWTaylor.org. That's LarryWTaylor.org.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and you say you've got bad weather up there where you are tonight.
We do. It's been savage all day, and we've got, they say, two or three more solid days of it, and it's going to move east also, threaten the east.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, everyone, for listening. Wish we had better news. Anyway, thanks for listening, and good night.